What's today's date?
What's the title?
No, what's today's date?
Yesterday was... Went to Goyish today? Today's the 9th.
Okay.
Right? And it's probably Tetzain. Probably Tetzain or Yudzain. Because we're Shlodosh with...
Sunday, November 9th, 2014. A Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, can a Levi become a Kohen?
That's the title?
Can a Levi become a Kohen? Okay.
Yes. That's the type of thing that's going to intrigue people.
Okay. I'll give the classic introduction between the difference between the title and the topic. Oh, here.
I have your daughter now. That's good.
I give the... Did we ever use that line before or not? The difference between the title and the topic? A title is what people want to hear. The topic is what the speaker wants to say. And then for the first 3-4 minutes of every presentation is how the speaker goes from the title to the topic. Check it out one time. You see pretty much what happens. And the biggest mistake everyone makes is they spend 10 minutes talking about what they're not going to talk about. So I'm not going to talk about what I'm not going to talk about. Pretty good at that. Also, one word of apology, which is, this is a new share. It means, you definitely didn't hear it before because I've never given it before. And I'm not sure if it's right. So I'm interested in hearing criticism because I'm not sure. I'm just playing with an idea, testing the waters. pretend I'm a bar mitzvah boy doing Kriyas HaTorah. So there's an extra mitzvah to to find mistakes. Okay. I want to begin with Bernie's question, which was about a coin. Mark, yeah. The title is, can a Levi become a Kohen? Which sounds like a question for a Gabbai. If there's no Kohen, can you call up a Levi? No, it's you're stuck with Elias. You have to give a Levi a Kohen. Can a Levi become a Kohen? How do we paskin? It's better we give a... It's complicated. And any professional Gabbai? Yeah, and Shas HaTchak can give Levi a coin or not? It's not that... If you're reading Sefer Devarim, for sure. In Vayikra, I'd be careful. Okay. Now, I want to begin with a practical question. I think Mark was reading to that. According to Sefer Vayikra, there's lots of kavanot that people need to bring. And according to Vayikra, you can only bring them in the Olam Moed. If you remember reading that in Perek Yudzayin. And if I follow Chumash, how many kohanim are there? Well, we started with Aaron and 4 sons. 2 we lost early on. And then Chazal said Pinchas was sort of a last minute decision. How many male men over 20 are there? Last count. Over 600,000. And women also bring korbanot. And even kids under 20 bring korbanot. Probably after bar mitzvah. Logically speaking, how is it possible that such a small little family can bring korbanot, and the only people that can bring korbanot are kohanim? Are these kohanim? Yes, the numbers don't add up, do they? Is my question clear? If I thought logically, I tried to put the numbers together. It's almost the same problem you have when you do the amount of firstborn there are compared to the population. If you know that calculation. That's also, there's certain numbers that just don't add up. The generations also don't add up. When you go, how many generations are there from Moshe till, from Yaakov to Yitzhak Mitzrayim? When you go to the family of Amram, if you take Perek Vav and Sefer Shemot, just to go from Levi to Yocheved Amram, then Moshe, it just doesn't, the years just don't add up. They do add up, but they don't add up. If you look in other families, there's like 10 generations. Take Yeshua's family or David's family. There's a lot more. So there's a general problem about the numbers. And I want to try and... I'm not going to solve the problem, but I want to suggest something that would possibly help solve it. And it all begins with the classic problem of Sefer Devarim. Anyone became a little tamid, went to college or studied this stuff academically... Devarim, if you're looking for multiple authorship, Devarim is like the first candidate. Yeah, who can tell me why? But what makes Devarim? You can argue, between. But I can say J and E without getting in trouble. No, because Barbora explains it beautifully. There's two bechinot. The two bechinot approach, I think, even makes sense. In what sense? That if you listen to a debate, we just had elections, between a liberal and a conservative, or between a Democrat and a Republican, and you hear a debate, it's called the two-party system, you don't have to decide he's right or he's right. One's right, the other's one right. The issues are complex. There is a liberal approach which makes sense. There's a conservative approach which makes sense. There's a famous saying, if you're 20 and not a liberal, you have no heart. Yeah, no. You're 40 and you're not a conservative, you have no brain. I probably misquoted something there. But that just reflects the human reality, that there isn't always a simple answer to every question. On the other hand, when you make decisions, you need principles, and you have to develop principles. In real-time decisions, you have to take those principles and find a happy medium. You can almost look at Tanakh in a certain way, that Tanakh teaches you the principles, Halacha is the application. The Akedah is a classic story of that, isn't it? Where I take two real basic principles. One is a moral ethic. No, you don't kill people, especially not your own son. You don't go against your heart and common sense, especially something ethical. And on the other hand, you have a divine command, which you have to follow blindly. God says something, you do it. Both are important principles. What happens when they conflict? So what do we do when they conflict? Bottom line, you have to make a decision. But your decision is based on the balance between the two. So the Akedah takes it to an extreme. How to interpret the Akedah? In my opinion, that's Am Yisrael's job. It's the argument between all the commentators over the generations in Chazal that help clarify the issue. Chumash is the catalyst that gets these debates going. And that's one way to get up to a good... To do that, that can explain two bechinot, because there's that's Adam 1 and Adam 2 all the time. There's different ways in our relationship with God. There's different ways. Sometimes we see God through nature, sometimes we see him through big historical events. And by presenting these two different bechinot, you appreciate different principles. When it comes to actual making a psak halacha, you base them on the principles. But no one opens up Chumash and Paskens Halacha. You open up Chumash and learn values and themes and principles. In real time, when you have to make a decision, that's for the rabbis in a certain cute way. Tanakh teaches you how to lead your life and Halacha how to live your life. And then, now, if I want to build a book of principles, sometimes principles conflict with each other. So don't be surprised that you have what's called Shem Elokim and Shem Yudkei Vavkei appearing to give different messages. And therefore, the Akedah story brings it right to the front. But it's not just there, it's all through Sefer Bereshit. Now, so that's the easy one to deal with. What makes Sefer Devarim so difficult to correlate with the other books? What are the anchors of saying that Devarim has to be someone different? You guys never learned this? It's like, just read the books. What comes glaring out in Sefer Devarim?
Straight repetition.
It's a halavai. It's not a repetition at all. What? Oh, the things that are repeated are different.
Right.
That's rarely a problem. That's a minor problem because that you can live with. Give me an example of something that's repeated that's different. Hashabbat Aveda. Is it different?
Whose idea the Moravim?
That's as easy as can be, because the Rabbim is super easy, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not speaking as an historian, he's giving a Musar Shmuz. So when you give a Musar Shmuz, every parent knows that, you spin the events in order to prove your point, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you know you're giving a Musar Shmuz. A history teacher can't do that. That's called the Jewish press, or that's called... when you claim to be giving the news, and you're really... When you're spinning it, your goal is to make an opinion and not give the news. I mean, New York Times called on also. The Dibrot, okay. But that's easy because in Sefer Shemot itself, there's two reasons for Shabbat. Giving two reasons for Shabbat is not a contradiction because there are two reasons for Shabbat. There's the ethical reason and there's the Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lachavero. Laman Yanuach and to remember that God created. You have the same thing by the man. Those are easy ones. Those are no problem at all. Yeah.
The theme of Devarim is that it's about an era in which Am Yisrael are responsible for initiatives, making our own decisions and running our lives, as opposed to Hashem telling us every
but
day.
But you can find those initiatives also in Parshat Mishpatim. You don't have initiative. That's a nice board, but that's not an anchor. That's not an anchor for the anchor Bible. Mm. You could get that. No, that's not an anchor. Someone got that. I want something. Those are easy things to answer. Yeah? What?
Centralization of sacrifice.
Okay, what's the kind of, there's no Mishkan. Right. You can't miss the Mishkan. Everywhere else in Chumash? From the second he broke the Luchot, even before he broke the Luchot, from the time the Mishkan's everywhere. Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, you can't miss it. And it disappears in Sefer Devarim. That's a rough one. Kedusha Bechor, that's a major problem. Another one, not Bechor. Who eats the Bechor? Your firstborn. You offer your firstborn. Is the Bechor brought by the owner? Is it like Maser Sheni that the owner eats it? Or is the Bechor goes to the Kohen? That's one of the roughest ones to deal with. Chazal deal with it. What do we say? The owner brings it and gives it to the Kohen to eat in Yerushalayim. But that doesn't seem to be the simple reading. That's a major one. But one of the biggest problems are the Kohanim and Levim. They're called Kohanim Levim, and it seems like they're almost equal. And this whole different, this saying that only Kohanim, I'm saying only Kohanim bring Korban, not Levim, and who eats what, it doesn't seem to fit Vayikra at all. Where in Vayikra, there's Kohanim and there's Levim. Levim carry the Mishkan, Kohanim bring Korbanot. You don't see that in Sefer Dvarim. Who blesses the people, Kohanim or Levim? Well, in Bamidbar, who does Berkat Kohanim? Aron Banav. Who blesses the people in Sefer Dvarim?
Well, I see it. And
Kisavim. Yeah, there, and even, we'll read it. One of the biggest problems is the Kohanim and Levim. I guess I didn't have to tell you that. I thought everyone knew that. Because I guess you guys aren't ruinsome. You're not, you haven't been, you haven't been defiled yet. No, but when kids learn it in college, it's really complicated. I think there's an answer for it, but it's confusing. But I want to give an approach which I think helps solve the problem. Now, again, there's an educational dilemma. Do you bring up the problem? Because if you hide, you insulate these things. That's been the Jewish custom for a long time. Because you don't have the answers, you're not able to teach it. Therefore, it's better to insulate, or do you bring it up and teach it, or do you inoculate? But that's an educational dilemma. But I'm assuming here, it's your past insulation speech. You know what happens nowadays. Insulation has been the way of Jewish education, pretty much, in the yeshiva world for sure, which is a logical decision. But the danger is that insulation becomes a religion. You follow what happens? And that's when sometimes things get out of hand. Now, the first thing I have to establish is that the laws in Sefer Devarim, I'm sure we've given a share on this, so I'm just going to review it. I want to begin with the laws in Sefer Devarim. They're given the first time around on the first 40 days at Har Sinai. Most important, before Chet HaEgel. If I'm studying the laws of Sefer Devarim, the laws that Moshe teaches in Sefer Devarim are laws that came before the sin of the golden calf, and they come part and parcel with the Ten Commandments. We've given that share or not? I'm sure we've given it. I'll just explain the main point. I'm sure you're past the stage of thinking that Devarim is a review of Chumash. Because that just can't be. It's not true. 90% of the laws in Sefer Devarim, the reader of Chumash never saw before. And 90% of the laws in Chumash before Sefer Devarim, Sefer Devarim doesn't talk about. And the stories, most of the stories in Chumash, are not repeated in Devarim. And there's lots of stories in Devarim that we didn't have beforehand. Okay. What is Sefer Devarim in a nutshell? It's real simple. And I have to begin right here. Go to Sefer Shmot, the end of Perek Chavdalet, right after Nasa Benishma. I have to go through the basic steps, and you'll see why this is important for what we're going to try and explain. Again, the goal was to explain why the status of the Kohanim and Levim in Sefer Devarim is different from the other books. And make sure I get to Hakel before we finish. The last 20 minutes has to do with Hakel and Shemitah. Take a look in the end of Parshat B'Shalach, in Perek Chavdalet, at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, the end of Perek Chavdalet, Pasuk Yud Bet. What is Moshe going up to get? Perek Chavdalet, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Alei Elai Ahara, Vahiyasham, Ve'na Lecha Luchot Ha'Evan, Vato Rav HaMitzvah Asher Ketavti Lahorotam. Moshe is going up to get, in addition to the Ten Commandments, three things. The Torah and the Mitzvah, and the Luchot. Luchot Evan, the Torah and the Mitzvah. What's Asher Ketavti going on? A giant machloket among the Parshanim. But to say it's Torah Shebaal Peh is very difficult. What?
I
didn't say it's not possible, but it's difficult. Moshe goes up for 40 days. He leaves. He tells him, he says, I'm going up till I come back. And look at the end of the line. What should happen next in Chumash had they not sinned? Moshe should have come down with the first luchot and the laws he got on the first 40 days after 40 days, teach it to the people, and then what should happen?
Go back up.
No. Well, look in Perichav Gimel. What should have happened? They should have gone to Israel. Why do we need? Maybe Moshe would have to teach the laws a little bit first. They should have gotten the laws. Moshe should have taught them. They should have gone to Israel. Do they need a Mishkan?
No.
Why would they need a Mishkan? You can build. Why build one in the desert? If I can build, why build a temporary shul? If I can build a permanent shul. Now, if it might take 2-3 years, so I have to build a bubble first. Well, I might need a temporary one if I'm stuck for a long time. But if I can travel there in a couple of days, in 11 days, and I can win the war in 6 days or 7 days, how long? With miracles, you can capture the land in 6 or 7 days. We did it recently.
Yes.
Then why spend a half year building something portable and temporary when I can build something permanent?
Is it almost as if they didn't think they really were going to
No, no, no. I'm following Chazal. Hold the commandment to build the Mishkan was given on the second 40 days, and then and Chumash is out of order. I'm going to follow Chazal. Okay, and I'll explain why Ramban's also right. It's real simple. I didn't. We didn't.
Do you need music for the tap dance?
I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll explain why in a minute. It's not that complicated. Listen to the logic of it. The goal of, since Sefer Bereishit, was God wants a nation serving Him in the land of Israel. And to do that, we have to get rid of the nations who are evil and bad, and we have to come up, set something up better. We were supposed to get out of Egypt, we become a nation, we make a covenant in Har Sinai to be His people, we accept the covenant, we take upon ourselves to be His people, we study it, we get the laws, we're supposed to go conquer the land, and become that nation. And after conquering the land, we build a mikdash, and then we start living a way that brings a name to God. That was the hope. When Moshe came down, he should have taught the laws. Why doesn't he? Because of Chet Egel. Chet Egel brings up the question, is the Brit still existing? Because it's broken, isn't it? And God's first answer is the Brit is broken. Brit Sinai is broken. Brit Avot still remains. And therefore, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, bring him to Israel without the Brit. It means keep Brit Avot and no Brit Sinai. Or basically, no Sefer Vayikra, no Kedusha. If you're no longer a nation representing God, I promised your forefathers a land. You can have the land, but I'm not coming with you. What we called Herzl's dream come true. It's a Jewish state. It's a Jewish state, you know, with the history, with the maybe a Seder night to thank God for getting me out of Egypt. A land promised to our forefathers, but you don't represent God. If you don't represent God, there's no Shabbat, there's no Kedusha, there's no Aliyah L'Regel, no Kashrut. There's no Kedusha, because you're not a Goy Kadosh, you're a Goy Gadol, not a Goy Kadosh. That Moshe Rabbeinu says, how could that be? And that's his famous Tefillah, you read about it, Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Remember Ray, I told Mera HaOtam HaZeh? There was, how can we be your people and not have Kedusha? What's the point of Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? God agrees. But he says, if I bring in Brit Sinai, you won't survive. Therefore, we have to renegotiate the whole terms of engagement. And what enables this relationship of a nation that tends to be bad, an Amksha Orif? What enables a nation which isn't so perfect, but normal human beings, who do things that sometimes think they're good, but they're really terrible, what enables them to be God's people? God has to change Midat Rachamim. Yeah.
My understanding is that they can't survive in Eretz Yisrael unless they have a certain amount of Kedusha. At least they're not bad. Even the Amim can't survive in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael spits them out, throws them out, mm-hmm. whatever the thing is. Yeah. So if they've gotten into Eretz Yisrael without the Kedusha...
So there's three levels. I'll answer Bertie's question from last week's Parsha. There's three levels of people. Even though the Mishnah says there's four, I'll go to three. There's evil people in Sdom who, when someone knocks on the door for tzedakah, leave me alone. If you solve your own problems, in principle, I don't give tzedakah. I'm not helping you because I'm helping you by not giving you a penny. Solve your own problem. If you don't make it, that's your problem. There's, in principle, there's no, that's shalish, shalish, shacha, shacha, remember? That's dumb. There's dumb when someone knocks on the door, he opens the door, throw me the letter, he'll help. You know, on the spot, if someone comes to him, he'll help out. And there's Avraham Avinu, who is sitting outside the tent looking to help other people. There's people, when someone knocks on the door, to give tzedakah. There's other people who set up a soup kitchen, set up a tzedakah organization, make a committee, and looking for people who don't have, who need, who should be knocking door to door, but don't, but are embarrassed to do that. Who understand the difference? Now, the middle guy, Lot, is not a bad guy. But it's not Avraham Avinu. You can be God's people in the land of Israel and still live there like any other nation and not be evil. The nations of Canaan, their behavior is disgusting. That's what God says. That's their toy vote. And therefore, they're being thrown out. That doesn't mean normal people can't survive there. A normal people is fine. To be God's nation, to represent God, that's already a higher level. You follow the three things? There's this middle ground in between, which is critical to understand. God's saying you can be in the middle ground. For sure, if you act like the Canaanites, I'll throw you out again also. But the job of representing God requires a much higher level of behavior. Now, God says, if you represent God, I have to be more strict with you when you do bad things, because it's a Chilul Hashem. And the only way we can survive representing God is if God uses also Midat HaRachamim, and that's at the essence of our prayer service. That's if you follow Davening and Tachnun and it's, we're asking God all the time, use Minat HaRachamim, we don't deserve anything. Remember, just read B'Hurachim on Monday and Thursday. And it's every other line. We deserve nothing, we're zero, but help us because for the sake of your name, and use your, and we'll try to do better next time. Either way, God agrees to that new covenant, and now we need a symbol of that covenant. And we need to prove to God that we really want Him in our midst. And God says, you want my Shekhinah to return? I follow Chazal's approach. I need the Mishkan because I need to show God I want Him in my midst. Build me a clubhouse. That doesn't mean that there would not have been a Mikdash. The need for a portable Mikdash, a temporary one, before we leave Har Sinai, that's because of Chet Egel. But the very need of a Mikdash to represent Har Sinai, like the Ramban talks about, for sure we would have had. And we'll see exactly how Sefer Dvarim deals with exactly with that issue. But before I lose track, let me go back and because I lost from the beginning. Follow carefully. Moshe comes down with Har Sinai, should have taught the laws. He can't now because we have a situation. The first thing he has to do is bring the Shekhinah back and renegotiate the covenant. That's the topic of Sefer Shmot from here to the end. Isn't it? The story of, of breaking the covenant, the new covenant, and the symbol of the covenant, being the Mishkan with Midot HaRachamim and the Mishkan, and the symbol, and the need for rehab. What does Moshe never do? Does Moshe ever teach the laws he got on the first 40 days? Does he or doesn't he? No, Mishpatim he found on the same day. That was right away. But the laws he got on the first 40 days. Did he or didn't he? Read your Chumash. Lamed Dalet Chavtet. Michelangelo knows this. Lamed Dalet Chavtet. Moshe comes down. Lamed Dalet Chavtet. You have it? In Shmot. Moshe comes down with the second Luchot, because it says so. Murray Cohen is built on these psukim. Moshe, it's Yom Kippur. Moshe comes down with the second luchot. His face is shining because God accepted the new covenant and He gave him Midot HaRachamim. And on that day, God declared His Midot HaRachamim, and His face is shining. We've done that before, haven't we? That's Murray Cohen. Because what we're doing on Yom Kippur, we're reliving that event. Now, what does Moshe do now? The people are scared. He breaks the ice with them, and look at Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Bet, Lamed Bet. What's Moshe do? Varchechem, Yikshu Kol B'nei Yisrael. And what does Moshe teach them? Et Kol Asher Diber Hashem Yitol B'Har Sinai. Which includes what? All the laws he got on the first, after the Ten Commandments. Mishpatim they heard already. Maybe he reviewed Mishpatim. Now he tells them all the laws he got on the first 40 days. Because he never had a chance to tell them yet. Now, the people of Israel know these laws. How about the reader of Chumash? He doesn't find out, does he? Is that clear? The reader of Chumash doesn't know the laws that Moshe taught. What does he know? That Moshe taught the people the laws he got on the first 40 days. They came with the Ten Commandments. Because they got scared. But he doesn't know what they were. We don't find them in Shmot. We just find about the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan, the topic is, in Shmot is about the relationship. After the Mishkan is built, we need to know how to use it. So there's a whole book about how to use a Mishkan. What's that book called? Vayikra. And God talks to him for Noah Moed. How to bring a Korban, when to bring a Korban, who can bring a Korban, who can't bring a Korban. You follow? And therefore I need a guidebook called Torat Kohanim, which is basically how to use the Mishkan. But it doesn't tell me how to live my life in the land of Israel, except for Kedoshim to you, which really belongs in Devarim. That's inserted. Smack in the middle, that's for Shir and Vayikra. When you read, it's quite clear that Kedoshim to you belongs in Devarim and not in Vayikra. But it's super important to put it there smack in the middle. Chiastically, it's the middle of the book. Now, the book of Bamidbar talks about laws that belong to Vayikra, about the Mishkan, but not laws that were given on the first 40 days at Har Sinai, except maybe Paraduma, which also belongs in Vayikra. But what I'm getting at is, after when Moshe comes down with the second Luchot, the reader of Chumash never finds the laws in Shmot, in Vayikra, or in Bamidbar, except maybe Parsha Bahar. Bahar might be there, but that's a machloket. Ramban claims the laws in Bahar is from the second Luchot, which makes a lot of sense. Where do we find the laws that Moshe got on Har Sinai? That is exactly Sefer Dvarim. How do we know that? Moshe says so, in black and white. There's nothing even to argue about. He says so. And that's his opening speech in Parakeh, in the beginning of his speech in Parakeh. He tells the people, he quotes the Ten Commandments, he tells them, I'm about to die, you're about to go into Israel. There's a set of laws you have to keep when you come into Israel to become God's nation. These are laws that I got 40 years ago in Har Sinai. I taught them to your parents. I drilled them to your parents over and over again. On the 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. We drilled them and studied them over and over again because these are the laws that will make you God's nation. But your parents messed up terribly. And therefore he goes over the story of how your parents messed up, better known as Chet HaMaglim. And that's why he spins the story, because it's a Musar Shmuz. And everything he changes makes perfect sense. That changes, he tells it from a different perspective. Now it's a new generation, and what's he have to drill down? All the laws that they need to keep when they come in the land. Not just laws hatzlot ba'aretz, laws of setting up a nation. Thanks. The laws of how to set the nation up, not just how to conquer the land, your judicial system, your educational system, your the whole political system, the king. The laws of society. There's no other section of Chumash has more day-to-day laws than from Parshat Ekev, from Etchanan and Ekev, which is attitude, and then Reish of Tim Ki Tetze. That's the main part of Jewish law. Look at Minyan HaMitzvot. That in Parshat Mishpatim, which came right before the 40 days, and Kedoshim Tiyu, which I'll show you, belongs in Sefer Dvarim. Therefore, these laws need to be drilled all the time. Therefore, the Chod Bishnei Torah, meaning laws that need constant repetition. And those are the main laws of Chumash. They came with the Ten Commandments, almost as a unit. Because if you follow the laws in Dvarim, they follow the Ten Commandments. And and these laws need constant drilling. In the meantime, we also have Chet HaEgel. In the meantime, other things happen, and there's other laws, but they came later. What I'm suggesting is, the core laws that Moshe teaches in Sefer Dvarim reflect the laws that he got 40 days earlier in Har Sinai. And therefore, they're before all the other laws. So the four Bavikra and Bamidbar, and the end of Shemot. In those laws, of course we don't find a Mishkan, because there was no point in having a Mishkan had they not sent with Chet HaEgel. But what would we have needed? We would have needed a Mikdash. Why? We need a Mikdash to represent God. How are you going to do Aliyah LeRegel if you don't have a Mikdash? We need some representation of God. And we need some national center. How does Sefer Dvarim refer to that national center? HaMakom HaShiv Char HaShem LeShaken Shmo Sham. It's the main theme of the book almost, especially from chapter 12 on. That's the hub of the nation. It's not a technical law. That's where everything's happening. That's the national center. It's not just a place to bring korbanot. It's a place to make God's name known. That's why it's called by its function. Had it not been for Chet HaEgel, I would not have needed a portable mikdash. I would have gone right to Israel and built a permanent one. Everything the Ramban says why you need a mikdash, to remember Mamad Har Sinai, he's right on the mark. The mikdash, or the mishkan, reminds us of Har Sinai. It's a portable Har Sinai in there, but we can't leave Har Sinai. We have to have it with us. Applies to the Mikdash as much as that's to the Mishkan. The only argument between Ramban and Rashi is, would they have needed a portable one had they not sinned with Chet HaEgel? That's all.
Are you implying that everything in Shrub Mitzvah, according to Ramban, has to be really Mikdash, not Mishkan?
Everything in?
Everything in Shrub Mitzvah, according to Ramban.
Yeah.
You're reading it right.
Yeah. Is Mikdash
and... to be really This is for the Mikdash. It's just...
Look at the Rambam in Hilchot Beit HaBchira. He says, what's the Ikar in the Mikdash? You need Mechitzot.
Yeah.
You need this in different areas, in different Kelim. How you make the Mechitzot, that depends on the situation. If you're portable, if it's permanent, you have a wall. If it's portable, you have a tent.
So you are saying that Ramban would say that everything in the Truma Tzava is really talking about Mikdash?
It's Basur the Mikdash, Shachanti B'tacham. It makes sense.
But then how do you account for all the Mishkan-specific things there that are not Mikdash?
Why do we need to put? Because Ramban would hold that even though we're going right to Israel, we still need a Mishkan with us right away. We can't leave.
Even an 11-day job?
Even an 11-day job, we need something. Okay.
Weak, but okay.
Okay. That's why Chazal don't agree with Ramban. Ramban is so adamant to keep Chumash in order, he can't accept it. But Chazal say the opposite. Chazal, I told you, Ramban is 100% right in his parallels, but Chazal are way better. Rashi's approach that it's afterwards. And it's not a fundamental argument over whether you need a temple or not, about sacrifice. It's a technical argument of how soon, how long can I last without some little temple. That's all. It's not a massive one, it's a minor one. Now, yeah, quickly.
Does this Sforno agree with what you said?
No. I'll explain this out. The Sforno is very idealistic. It says, had it not been for Chet Ege, we wouldn't need these fancy temples. You wouldn't have to renovate. The shul. You can have a small little shul. It didn't have to be so expensive. You don't need, God doesn't need these golden things and fancy buildings to serve Him. A Mizbech Adama would be enough. You know, none of the fancy stuff. Now, but anyone who knows religion and human beings, I think it's a little too, that might be a bit, especially Renaissance men, shouldn't. Yeah, I understand where he's coming from. That's what he says. And that's the word. I'm not even sure that's really what he means to that degree. But there's so many proofs otherwise. There's just, in the end of Mishpatim, Reshit, Bikrad Matat Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. The need for house of God is already Mishpatim. Yaakov's dreaming about it. Before everything starts, the idea of a Beit Elohim. The need for a house of God? Now, you could argue what it would look like, how many mechitzot you need, what korbanot you bring. Maybe there wouldn't be a korban chatan. For sure, Chet Egel has an effect on how you serve God. But the need for a place, it's in Parsha Mishpatim beforehand, isn't it? Rashid Pikrad Machat Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. And Aliyah the Rego, Shos Pamir Shiarakos Chot Pnei Adon Hashem. Where are you going to? To your Rebbe? That's how we do it. That's the application today. But you need somewhere to go to. And it's got to be look nice. It has to be mechubad. And that's why I know everyone likes this Sforno saying that religion could have been a lot simpler. We don't need these fancy temples. And there's something to that.
Actually, it's in Israel.
That's right. That's right. Shmi, the question what that's referring to.
Yeah.
That'll
be the
Machlokes Rosh
Hashanah.
Exactly. Now, let's go back now to what's happening in Dvarim, because we're going to run out of time in a minute. But you see, this important, the introduction was important. My key point is, the laws that Moshe is teaching in Sefer Dvarim, the key laws, not the rebuke. As a teacher teaches laws, he always makes these side comments, goes on to tangents. And some later teachers do the same thing all the time. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, during his speech, he's quoting the laws that God gave him in Har Sinai. Then he says, remember how bad you were at Chet Egel, and remember what happened here, remember what God did to Miriam. As he quotes laws, he's going to remind people. But the core laws he's teaching are 40 years old. And those are the ones that need constant repetition, those ones we read at Hakel, etc. What are the laws? Ki tavo la'aretz, setting up a king, how to conquer the land, Arei Miklat, all those things. It makes sense that we're given in Har Sinai. Now, if that's the case, I want to take a look at the job of the Kohanim Levim before Chet Egel. And this is my key point. Now, I needed to do that to look at Sefer Dvarim without Shmot Vayikra Bamidbar. You follow? I want to understand, now that I've established the laws that Moshe is teaching in Dvarim were given beforehand, and I'll show you exactly where he says it in a minute, I want to examine, only according to Sefer Dvarim, what is the job of the Kohanim and Levim, just according to Sefer Dvarim, without having any knowledge of anything earlier. You follow? I just did the introduction to allow me to make that assumption. Now, go to Perikei Sefer Dvarim to show what Moshe Rabbeinu says what I just told you. Moshe begins in the first line of Perikei. Listen to the laws I'm teaching you today. Perikei in Dvarim. Remember? Moshe gathers the nation together and tells them, Shema Yisrael, Techukim HaMishpatim. Right? And these laws, Pasuk Bet, is part of a brit we made with Hashem Elokeinu in Har Sinai. Then he quotes the terms of the covenant, better known as the Ten Commandments, that were given back then. And then, after quoting Ten Commandments, he tells a story from Pasuk Chaf on about how everyone got scared after the Ten Commandments and after the Mamad. And the people beg Moshe Rabbeinu, you speak. You get the laws from God instead of you. And once you really cool Nasa Venishma, look in Perek Hey, Pasuk Chavav, no, Pasuk Chav Hey, Perek Vav, I'm sorry, Perek Hey, the people are talking Perek Hey, Pasuk Chav Dalet, that's all we need. Moshe, the people tell Moshe, Kravata Ushma, et kol asher yomar Hashem Elokeinu, listen carefully, Va'at tedaber eleinu et kol asher yedaber Hashem Eloheinu elecha, v'shamanu v'asinu. Nasa v'nishma? Not now from God, but now through Moshe. Because he's Moshe Ish Elohim. That's why, that whenever Moshe later on says, here's what God told me, what's a Yisod of Emunah? When Moshe says something in the name of God, that God told me this, what do we have to believe? Then Moshe's not making it up. That's the Yisod that the Rambam's talking about. That when the Moshe is not making up the laws, he's transmitting the laws from God. They're God's laws, and not, it's not that God gave Moshe the right to legislate, but Moshe's laws are simply the middleman from God. If you know how other religions work, you understand how important that is in Sefer Dvarim.
You account for the change in order?
What?
You account for the change in order?
It's fresh ground from Midrash. What's more important? Nasa v'nishma, nishma v'nasa. It's good when you have to honor your mother or your father first. There's a lot of things where it can go either way. And therefore, sometimes it's your mother than your father, father, mother. You know, ava, yira, yira, ava. The order, there's tons of room. I'm sure there's some good reason, but I'm sure there's 20 good reasons. And Chumash wants you to come up with the 20 good reasons. And they're all meaningful. No. I think Chumash purposely says one time this way and one time that way, exactly so we do that. It's a springboard for Chazal to explicate. Yes.
Isn't Shemana
Basina
what you just said, which is the Shemana means we accept that Moshe is the middleman.
We're going to do what he says.
And yeah. Nasa v'nishma in other places is something else.
It could be. But here it's referring to Nasa v'nishma and what Moshe's going to tell them, as opposed to Nasa v'nishma and what God's going to tell them. Now, God heard what he said, it's good, they should always fear me so much. And then, Chav Zayin, go tell them, Shuv lechem lo lechem, Pasuk Chav Chet. Ba'ata po amorim adi, God tells Moshe, you stay here with me. Ba'adabra ilachet, kol ha-mitzvah, ba'chukim ha-mishpetim, asher tlamdeim, basu ba'aretz, asher anokhi noten lechem l'rishta. Moshe, you stay with me up on Har Sinai, and I'm going to teach you all the laws, chukim mishpetim, and the mitzvah, that you're going to teach them, they're going to keep in the land. Therefore, what should follow? Just zoom to Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. V'zot ha-mitzvah, ba'chukim ha-mishpetim, asher tzivah Hashem lechem l'lamed etchem, basu ba'aretz. That's introducing the speech. Follow the speech from here to the end of Perek Vav is one long speech. And what introduces the speech? These are the laws that Moshe taught the people in the 40th year, which is based on the laws that God told him 40 years ago. And the whole speech is introduced by the narrator of Sefer Dvarim and Dalet Mem Dalet V'zot HaTorah Asher Shama Moshe. Therefore, these laws of the speech are called the Torah. Not the Torah, but the Torah. That Moshe's going to read at Hakel, that the king has to write down, which makes sense because if the king is in charge of all this thing happening, of setting up a Makom HaShirei V'char Hashem, and setting up the political system, king's the CEO of the nation. Now, so let's follow now in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, which begins now with Shema Yisrael. They probably fell asleep till there. He wakes them up again and says, this God, you made a speech with Hashem, Asher Kratim Rabit B'choreb, this Hashem Elokeinu is the one and only God. And you have to love God in this relationship. And the Divine Mashur, which I'm commanding you, which God gave me way back then, you have to learn them and teach them from one generation to the next. Then he gives a lot of musar about, loving God and fearing God and keeping his laws and passing to your children. Then in Perichet he goes back and gives a little rebuke. Remember how bad you were in, remember your 40 years of desert experience. That's a digression, that's right. That's a digression about a transgression. Imperatet about Chet Ego and stuff, and how bad you've been, and God saved you anyhow. And then, after telling the story about God giving the Luchot, and the whole story of Chet Ego and the Luchot, look in Perikyud. Beitei Amar Hashem Elai Psolach Hashem Luchot Adonim, Balai Ha'ahar Ve'atzita Ha'aronetz. The Luchot need to be on. Is this the Mishkan? Big argument. Or is this the second Aron? Right now, all we know is there's no Mishkan here. God says, make an Aronetz. V'chtol ha'luchot et v'rei basher ha'yu ha'luchot ha'rishonim v'chulei. V'asor nitzit shashir siti v'chulei. Now, Moshe comes down and he puts the Aron in the luchot in the Aron. Then we talk about Aron's death. And then we get the Pasachet. This is the first time we find out about Shevet Levi. Look how it begins. Remember, this is the beginning, not a summary. Ve'itahi could be referring to right after Chet Egel, or could be referring to the time of Matan Torah. Ve'itahi, when God gave us the Torah, Hivdil Hashem et Shevet Levi, God separated Shevet Levi for three jobs. What are they for? Leset et Aron Brit Hashem, to carry the Aron, Lamod Lifnei Hashem L'Sharto, to serve God, Ulavarech Bishmo Ad Hayom Hazeh. What's the classic understanding of these three things? What does it mean, Leset Aron Brit Hashem? What's their job? To carry what?
Mishkan.
To carry, not just the, here, not the Mishkan, here. Yeah. No, the classic understanding is to carry the Mishkan. But they, everyone with a different job. The problem is, there's no Mishkan. Got it? Now, is there an Aron? The Rambam talks about Aron. What's in the Aron? The Luchot. Are they supposed to be moving around all the... Do I need an entire tribe to carry... Do I need an entire tribe to carry the Aron? I need an entire tribe. I have to pay him 10% of my salary in Sefer Dvarim. I have to give all this master and everything. Just to carry an Aron with no Mishkan. And it's going to be in a permanent... And Malchon HaSherif HaRashem is going to be something permanent. And I need a whole... Doesn't make any sense, does it? Leset Aron Brit Hashem can be something very, very, very different, but way more important. To carry the burden? Yeah. How do you carry the Aron Brit Hashem? Give me a more, without even being...
Transmitting
what? What's the job of Shevet Levi? To carry the burden of Shevet Levi, which is the burden of Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand? To teach the Torah. That's to carry a burden. Now, it sounds like a midrash, but I want to show you that's what's going on in Sefer... In Sefer Dvarim, yeah.
So I think that helps answer a question I have, which is structurally.
I'm missing
that. Is this the only time we know of that Moshe repeats these laws? I mean, you would think in 40 years that at some point there would have been a class.
Yeah.
The teacher,
okay.
And the student.
Well, but this,
that would say, you know.
Okay, so to answer your question, all you need to do is read the first line of the book. Eilah Dvarim, Ibn Ezra, Ramban say, it's referring to the speech we just started reading. These Dvarim. Which have to be Allah Vavecha, Bishantam Navanecha, these Dvarim. The Dvarim of Sefer Dvarim, it's talking about the speech we're just talking about. The laws of Moshe got 40 years ago. When did Moshe give the speech? Where else did Moshe give the speech? As you suggested, also in the Midbar. Where else? In the Arava. Where else? Musuf. He gave the speech many times, especially on the 11 day journey. From where to where? From Chorev to Kadesh Barnea. What was that journey supposed to be? What? That journey was supposed to be? Going to entering the land, because they sent them Radvim from Kadesh Barnea. And therefore, the last chance to teach, to drill the Torah before conquering the land was the 11-day journey, which might take more than a couple weeks. It's 11 days at the distance. And during that 11-day journey, they drilled the laws of Dvarim over and over and over again. Now, those laws became a bit obsolete after Chet Amraglim, because they're stuck now for 38 years. Therefore, Moshe begins the speech with, well, how you messed up and why you got this punishment. That's why he begins with Chet Amraglim, as the reason why it's been 40 years. And now it's deja vu. It's 40 years later, 38 years later. It's time to do it again. And what's Moshe have to do again? Teach the same laws he drilled 38 years ago. But before he drills them, I always avoid you make the same mistake again. Don't be like your parents. Got it? Which is a tendency of kids to make the same mistakes. Not the same good things, but the same bad things. Now, in the first parent, for some reason, Moshe goes into this whole digression into this system of a judiciary system. Take a look in Pasuk Tedvav in Perek Aleph. Listen to Tetzain. V'atzavet shoftechem beit ahi lebor. Shmua ben achachem v'shvatetem tzedek. Ben ish ben achid ben giro. Lo tiru panim b'mishpat. Katon kadot tishmaun. Lo tiru ben ish ki ha-mishpat Elohim hu. Listen carefully now. V'adavar asher yikshe bekem takriv v'nalai u'shmativ. What did he tell them 38 years ago? We need a judicial system. But we need a hierarchy. And we need a Supreme Court. We need teachers and judges everywhere, which will be detailed. Shoftim v'shoftim ten b'chol she'arecha. Parshat Shoftim in the middle of the speech. But I need some higher authority when questions come up. I need a Beit Din. I need a Supreme Court. Who's the Supreme Court at this point in time in Jewish history? Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not a bald guy, but he says, I have the final say, but you have to teach it. It can't be a one-man job. 1 second. You with me? But Moshe now in Sefer Dern is about to die. What's he need to do? He needs to give over that authority to someone. Who does he give that authority to? To Shevet Levi. You understand? And that's why this is an introduction. Now, what does Moshe do in Pasuk Yichet? But Sabet Chem Beit Ahi. Yes, this answers your question, Rabbi Becker. Okay? What's that? But Sabet Chem Beit Ahi. And Kol HaDavari Mesher Ta'asun. What did Moshe teach them at that time? Beit Ahi. What Dvar Mesher Ta'asun? The laws of Sefer Dvarim, which we'll detail now coming up. Now, before you forget all that, let's get right to Hakel. Go to Perek Lamed Aleph. Go to Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph in Dvarim. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Tet, I'm sorry. The book's finally over. Remember, the speech was Zot HaTorah. The Torah's not written. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud. Vayechtom Moshe et HaTorah Hazot. Vayno el HaKohanim b'nei Levi. Hanosim et Aron Brit Hashem. Are you with me? Hashem is Hivdil Shevet Levi leset et Aron Brit Hashem. Now it's over. Who's he giving the Torah to? To Levim. And what's the job of Levim? Hanosim Aron Brit Hashem. That's not a technicality because the Torah is there.
The word Kohanim doesn't belong there.
Right, I'll explain Kohanim in a minute. That's the next point. Hakohanim b'nei Levi hanosim et Aron Brit Hashem. They'll cause it in Israel. We'll talk about this Kenim and the Levim in a minute. What do they have to do? Who has to teach the Torah every 7 years? That's the job of Shevet. Why? Because what's their job? They're Nosim Aron Brit Hashem. That's Mamad Har Sinai, Yom HaKahal. Hanashim Hanashim Batah, Figar Shevisharecha, Laman Yishmu, Laman Yomadu. They're Ruat Hashem Alechem, Vashamru Lasad, Vekhod Dibar HaTorah Hazot. V'nei Mashur Lo Yadu. Shevet Levi's job is to continue Moshe Rabbeinu. How's Moshe born? How's the story begin? Ba'ilech Ish? Ba'ikach? This is Shevet Levi, Mikan Medanon. This is Shevet Levi. That's always been Shevet Levi's job. That's how Chazal understand it, isn't it? Shevet Levi were different. That's why their numbers are smaller. They weren't under the Shibud. Shevet Levi were always the educators. Now, if I leave education only to one tribe, it can be that way. Everyone has to have the ability to teach. Therefore, there's also Shoftim, Shotrim, and Skinim. Anyone can be an educator, but one Shevet can only be educators. Let me look at the concept. Because you have the exact same concept of Shevet Levi, if you're doing, remember the SAT analogies? Okay. Shevet Levi is to the 12 tribes, like Am Yisrael is to the 70 nations. Which everyone should be good, and everyone can have a connection to God. One nation is separated from the other 70, and that's the only thing they can be. One nation has one job only to serve God. But they're there for the sake of the other nations, to bring them to God. Within that nation, we have 12 tribes. And one of those tribes is separated with the job only to teach Torah. And how are we going to make sure they do nothing but teach Torah? We take away any financial ability to make a living any other way. And that's going to be the next pasuk. Go back now to Dvarim. Do you have somebody being by Hanosim at Torah Brit Hashem? Now, just before I go on, I will show you how logical it is. If the goal of the Jewish people is to be a nation serving God, and the Torah is the guide, Torah study that has to be passed down, not just that generation, the need to pass that down from one generation to the next, is critical for Jewish survival. That's much more important than carrying an aron around in the Mishkan for a couple years in the desert. That's a technical thing. The need to have an entire tribe of educators set aside to teach the Torah and to pass the Torah for the next generation, it's critical. It's the most basic thing Jewish people need. Do you know the Rambam in Hilchot Klei Mikdash? That's exactly how he ends. He talks about Shevet Levi, and what's he say at the end? Anyone remember? Even though this is job of Shevet Levi, anyone in Am Yisrael wants to take the burden of Shevet Levi to come and teach. The whole yeshiva world is based on that.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. Who mentioned? It makes perfect sense. But what I'm saying is the whole concept here, in a little midrashic, right? That's exactly how Am Yisrael paskin. There's one. We don't have Shiva Levi anymore. We have Pralias, but we have the Shiva world that dedicates its life only learning Torah, doesn't get jobs, and everyone else has to support them. There's logic to that. Whether they should do the army or not, that's a different. But the need to have people dedicated to Torah study, and that's all they do. Without that, you're not going to last 4,000 years. The problem is, I need also an authority. And that's Shevet Levi. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu now passes that authority to other people. The brachot that Moshe gives at the end of the book to Shevet Levi, he talks about the kuhuna. Then he says, Yoru mishpatecha le'yakov, Levi amar, to mechav nish chasidecha. But what's the job of Shevet Levi? Yoru mishpatecha le'yakov, v'toratcha le'yisrael. In addition, yosim uktura b'pecha, b'chilo mizbechecha. Brech Hashem chilo. In the bracha, we say their job is to teach Torah, and we have that happening later in Tanakh over and over again. Now we have to question why they're called kohanim. But you with me? But I'm going back to the pasuk now in Perek Yud. Go back now to Perek Yud pasuk. Go back to Perek Yud where Beit Yigal Shabbat Shevet Levi. Without anything of previous books, Beit Yigal Shevet Levi, laset etorim brit Hashem, which I'm saying is to carry the burden of teaching Torah, which is what it means to carry the Aron. Lamolif the Hashem the Shartov. What's that sound like? What? How's it usually understood? Is that the Kohanim who bring Korbanot? Is that their job? It doesn't say that anywhere in Sefer Devarim that their job is to bring Korbanot. But they serve God. How do you misharate God? We'll show you in a minute. Ulevrech Bishmo. Is that Birkat Kohanim? Or is that Birkat HaTorah? Which we say that every morning, don't we? The main blessing that God gives us, the way the Shevet Levi blesses the Jewish people by teaching them Torah. I'll develop that in a minute. That's not the technical Birkat Kohanim in the Mikdash. This is I'll explain. It's exactly Birkat HaTorah, which is based on Birkat Kohanim. Pasuk Tet, Al Kain, because of these jobs of Shevet Levi, which is for eternity to make sure the Jewish people are God's people teaching Torah. Lo yela Levi chelek v'nachalai mechav, Hashem u'nachlato kasher diber Hashem etachalo. Because of that, they don't get a nachala. Not, their job isn't to be poor. Their job is to be dedicated to education. I'm building into the system 10% of my population has to be in chinuch. So let's say they're not good teachers, or they can sing, they can do. There's other things they can do. Now, not everyone will be successful, but the fact that I have a core of people that set aside to have someone there. It's the same thing just like I had the Jewish people. Will the Jewish people do their job? That's up to them. But the fact they've set aside a nation, that's Kedusha. I've set aside a nation to serve God, and that's their responsibility. That's their destiny. If it works, it's up to them. In the same way that the Jewish people have a responsibility to mankind, Shevet Levi has a responsibility of teaching Torah to within the people. Now we have the word Kohen. Question, yeah, sorry.
Isn't this the same structure that was by Har Sinai, where you have Moshe, dealing with God,
huh?
And then the concentric circles are there as well.
With the there's Kohanim, it's Kohanim. Now, to answer that, to continue with that, what does the word Kohen mean? I want to begin with the Pasuk that has nothing to do with priests, but has Kohanim. Open up, if you have a Tanakh, open up Sefer Shmuel Bet Perechet, the very last line. It's still there. Shmuel Bet Perechet, it talks about. Look at Pasuk Tedvav, which is the most important Pasuk by David. Shmuel Bet, Perechet. You see Pasuk Tedzayin, Tedvav? David's king over all of Israel, and what's David doing? He's doing Mishpat Tzedakah L'Cholamo. The end of Perechet, Tedvav. Then we get his cabinet, don't we? We get his cabinet, and who's in his cabinet? We have Yoav, Yoshaphat. Are there priests? Sadok HaKohen, and all these people who are Kohanim. Look at the last line. What's it say? Ubnei David Kohanim Hayu. What's it mean? What does it mean, Bnei David Kohanim Hayu? They weren't Kohanim, they were Kohanim. They were ministers in his government. Someone who is in service is Mechahen. In modern day Hebrew, Rosh Memshal Mechahen. There's Rosh Hashem Mechahen, there's one going to jail. But there's... Mechahen is a status. You follow? In the same way, because you're in the service of God. So all of Am Yisrael are called Kohanim. Now, a Levi, the tribe of Levi is set aside to do this job. When they're doing their job of teaching, whatever it might be, they're called Kohanim. Therefore, the Kohanim, B'nai Levi. B'nai Levi is setting them aside. It's the background. When they're doing their job, they're called Kohanim. Understand? Continue it for me. What's it say there? Take a look. Over Parshat Shoftim. Parshat Shoftim. The beginning, Perek Yud Zayin. Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. First Shoftim, B'shoftim B'choshi Arecha. You have to have judges everywhere, which can be everyone, but Shevet Levi is set aside for that. Wait, how am I going to get Shevet Levi in every... How can every gate of every city have judges? Where does Shevet Levi live? Oh, they're scattered everywhere. And therefore, they become the core from which we get Shoftim and Shoftim from. Or they'll be the authority. Yeah, quickly.
Yisro and Yosef's father are Kohanim. What does that mean?
Serving their God. He's Kohen On. And he's Kohen in Kohen Midian. They're serving their country. They're leaders.
Country or God?
The God of the country.
So it could be either?
Malki Tzedek was a Kohen to Elyon. Anyone in the service of a higher authority is a minister. Because he ministers. That's their job. That's what it means in Hebrew. So Levi is set aside for a job. When they're doing their job, they're Kohanim. That's all. Now, take a look at, I was saying, Perek Yud Zayin. First we had Shoftim B'Shotrim. Ki Palim Chadab Al HaMishpat Beinam Ledin. Okay? Pasuk Tet. You misquoted the Pasuk, which I did. Read the whole thing now, Elliot. Pasuk Tet. Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tet. He said, Ubat Al HaKohanim. What's it say now? Ubat Al HaKohanim HaLevi'im.
These are not just
decorative. Everyone see it? Tet Zayin Tet. Ubat Al HaKohanim HaLevi'im Ve'la Shofet Asher Yabamimahim. Who do you go to? Kohanim or Levi? Make up your mind. Well, if a Levi is acting as a shofet, he's machahein. When a Levi whose job is to teach Torah and to be a judge, when any laws that come up, when he's doing his job, he becomes a kohen, not a kohen in the Beit HaMikdash, a kohen in the Beit HaMishpat. He's machahein as a shofet. What's the proof? You see that word? First we say HaKohanim HaLevim. And now when he makes the decision, he's now the Kohen. But what's his job? HaOmeid L'Sharet Sham Et Hashem Elokecha. How is the Kohen or Levi here? The Sharet et Hashem. What does it mean, the Sharet et Hashem? What does it mean, the Sharet et Hashem? To be a judge. You know what? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Right? Being a judge is acting on behalf of God. You represent God as a judge. Ki mishpat Elohim hu. What am I quoting?
Judges.
What?
What's the word for judges?
Elohim. That's it's the same theme. That's my point. It's the same theme. When you put mishpatim together with dvarim, it's perfect.
But the pasuk says el hakohen o el hashofet.
That's my point. Anyone can be a shofet. Doesn't have to be a kohen. Levi. The shofet can be from Shevet Levi, or it can be from any shevet. Now, usually the default is will be from Shevet Levi because that's what they set aside to do. But any shiva bachur can be. You know, can take the job of being a shofet. You understand what I'm getting at? I have one tribe set aside to be educators and judges. So logically they'll come from there, but it's open for everybody as well. And they can also do it. Now, let's go back. Look again. How is usually understood the Kohen who made the Sharet? The Kohen bringing Korbanot. But it doesn't talk about Korbanot in Devarim. So what does it mean, L'sharet et Hashem? To be a judge, let me prove it to you. Go to Pasek, the Perek Yud Zayin. Where's Edim Zomimim? I think it's Perek Yud Zayin, or maybe... No, it's not Yud Zayin. It's Chaf Aleph?
The end of Shoftim.
Chaf Aleph. The end of Shoftim? Chaf Aleph in the beginning, or Chaf Aleph? Look at Chaf Aleph. Find Edim Zomamin. No. Chaf Aleph. Yeah, I'm sorry. Perek Yotet. Yotet, my mistake. Perek Yotet. After Arei Miklat. Yeah. Look at this carefully. Perek Yotet, Pasek. Pasek Tetzayin. Have it? Yotet Tetzayin, 1916. Okay? Listen carefully. Ki Yakum Eit Hamas Be'ish. Lanot Basara. Got it? Everyone have it? Chapter 19, verse 16. Yotet Tetzayin. Ki Yakum Hamas Be'ish Lanot Sarah. Vamdu shnei nashim asher lehem ariv lifnei Hashem. Wait, what do you mean in front of God? What? Equals lifnei hakohanim v'hashoftim asher b'yamim ahem. V'doshu hashoftim etei v'nei shecher v'chit. You see what it says? To stand in front of God is to stand in front of the shofet. That's black and white here, isn't it? Doesn't mean to stand in front of God in the kodesh kodeshim. They stand in front of the shofet. But the Shofet needs to know that he is representing God. Therefore he writes it that way. How does the Levit misharet et Hashem? By being a judge. And it's not Midrashic, it's Pshat. You follow? Because that's the job. How do you represent God? By keeping his Torah. I need an official, I need an expert on the laws of God.
So what are the two things? What? And Shoftim.
That's again, it can be a Kohen or a Shofet.
What?
They both have the same job. But when it's from Shevet Levi, he's called a Kohen. And a Shofet is from any tribe.
Would you like it better if the Shem of Ayah was replaced by Shem of Locust there?
It would be. Listen, if we had. In Dvarim, it's in Mishpatim, it's more Elohim. But the idea that using Elohim and Yudke Vavke to represent the same idea is one of the big. Hashem who Elohim. Because Elohim is usually when it comes to mishpat plili, mishpat civil law, like in Parsha Mishpatim, the first section is civil law, that Hammurabi stuff, which is classic. The mishpat of ben dam ledam ben din ledin is already b'fnei Hashem. No, it's laws which have more with Shem that relate to Shem Yud Kevav Ken, and laws of Torah that makes sense amid b'fnei Hashem, because they're going to represent the way of God. Now, back, even this is Eid Hamas Be'ish, but it has to do with the context here of Eidim Zomamin. Eidim Zomamin is a bit of a different type of a case. Now, back to, let's go back now, and we'll go step by step. Go back again, our source, from Perek Yud, Pasek Tet, we had, remember? Perek Yud, Pasek Tet. Now we solved two of them, didn't we? Beiti Yibdi Hashem Shevet Lebi, Leset Aron Bit Hashem, is to be the educators, to teach Torah. Lamod Lifnei Hashem Ulashorto, is to what? Is to be the judges, which is the job of which Am Yisrael needs to be a Jewish people. How do you bless in God's name? You would think Birkat Kohanim, right? But that's not Levim. Is there any time in Sefer Dvarim where the Levim give a bracha? Where Levim? Did Levim give the bracha there? Wait, take a look. Open up. Perek Lamed or Chav Tet? No, Chav Chet. Perek Chav Chet. Devarim Perek Chav Chet. Kitavo. Maybe the end of Chav Zayin? I'm sorry, right. The end of Chav Zayin. My mistake. Perek Chav Zayin. Pasuk Tet. Got it? By Deber Moshe. Remember, Moshe is about to pass on leadership to them. Pasuk Tet. By Deber Moshe. Vehakoni Behalavim. Why doesn't Moshe talk by himself? Moshe talking together with who? With the Kohanim Halevim. Because what's their job going to be?
To take
the mantle from Moshe Rabbeinu teaching the Torah, and now it's their responsibility because Moshe is dying. That's the whole point of his speech. I'm passing over leadership to the Kohanim Halevim. And we're going to listen to God and keep his mitzvot, etc. Now, what will happen, listen logically, if you keep God's mitzvot, what will be the result? What will happen? The land will be blessed. If you don't follow the laws, what will happen? And therefore, now, if I want a blessing, right? Blessings aren't magical. Ask Balak and ask Bilam. Kilo nachash v'yakov. What will bless the Jewish people? What will bring a blessing to the Jewish people? If they keep his laws. What will bring a curse to the Jewish people? If they don't keep his laws. Now, if you want to bless the nation, how do you bless the Jewish people? Not with a magical, let's go, magic things. How do you bless it? By teaching them Torah.
But isn't backwards? Shouldn't they halavim ha-kohanim? That's what it means?
Right.
What?
Kohanim halavim, then halavim is
what's my... It depends where you put the dash.
Right.
What? It depends where you put the dash. You can, you're right. I said write a letter to the editor. It can be understood that way. Ha-kohanim halavim. The kohanim are the levim.
But
when
it
happened
to the other
way,
if it meant it to
Levim, you could say Levim, but it could be that's what it means because it's consistent to Sefer Dvarim.
No, it's Halavim El Kol Yisrael. They are the
accompanied. But Kohanim, Halavim. The Kohanim who are doing their job, who are from Shevet Levi.
No.
And what? To the people of Israel.
I'm saying something else. I'm saying.
No, but the Tamei Mikra don't fit that way. It's all through its Kohanim and Levi. But listen to the point, and if I make sure it makes sense. What I'm saying is, how does Shevet Levi bless the people? Is it something magical? Going to the Rebbe, get some magic, you know, get a kamiya? Or is the way Shevet Levi blesses the Jewish people is by teaching them Torah and inspiring them to keep Torah? Because what does Chumash say over and over again, like 1,000 times? And like it's going to say in the Tochacha in a minute, Im Shema Tishmu, Vim Lo Tishmu. You follow? And if you keep my laws, you'll be blessed. If you don't keep my laws, you'll be cursed. How does Shevet Levi bless the people? By teaching them Torah. You can't have anything simpler. And therefore the Levim bless the people. That's their job, Levrech Bishmo. Yeah.
Should Levi be a separate Shevet then?
Well, are they? Let's read. Take a look. Pasuk Yud Aleph, listen. By Tzabu Shet Am, by Yomu Lemor, Eile Yabdu Levorech Et Am, Al Har Grizim, Kavrachem Et Yerden, Shimon Ben Levi, Yudav Yisachar V'Yosef Ben Yamin, Eile Yabdu Al Kala Bahari Val Ruven Gad Vasher Bezvulun. Got it? Levi is one of the Shvatim. Because they also have to do their job. They also have to keep mitzvot.
But if you're saying that the Shevet Levi is the Shevet where everybody's got to be.
No, that's exactly my point. It's a pool of where we grab our educators for. You got the idea of the pool? Okay. It's a pool of educators, but when one of them's doing their job, he has a status of not a Kohen Big Dash status, he has a Kohen Shevet Levi status.
I'm saying, how do you account for Levian
Because not everyone's working.
How do you account for the members of that Shevet who aren't being Kohanim?
They can sing that they're Levim, and they have to receive a blessing. They also have to keep Torah mitzvot. And therefore, va'anu ha-Levim v'amru akol Yisrael aror ha'ish. Remember, and they give brachot and klalot. But this continues with the tochacha. So Shevet Levi is mevarech la'am. That's not a drash. That's what it says, and that's much more logical. Understand? And therefore, what does it mean? Now we have all three jobs of Shevet Levi. Does Seta Rambam Brit Hashem? Is to carry the responsibility of leadership, the ultimate authority. Labo l'sharet is to be the judges, to make sure there's answers there. And the Vrech Bishmo is to teach Torah. Now, pay attention. When we say Birchat HaTorah in the morning, remember all three? When we finish saying them, we quote something from the Bible, something from the Mishnah, and something from Talmud. What we quote from the Mishnah and Talmud is about Talmud Torah. Why would we do such a thing? Why would we quote from the Talmud? Why? Because the topic is Talmud Torah. Therefore, what we quote from the Bible should also be about Talmud Torah. What do we quote? That has to be about Talmud Torah. You follow? The answer is in your Siddur. We quote Birkat Kohanim for a core text from the Bible which is about Talmud Torah. Now, in Nusach Sfar it's much better because what do they include after Birkat Kohanim? The Samuot Shmiah B'nei Yisrael V'Aniyah V'Arachim. Now, how do you put the name of God on the Jewish people? Because how do the Jewish people associate with God? By acting the way that makes God's name look good, which is by keeping the Torah. How do the Kohanim bless the people? By teaching them the Torah. There's no greater blessing. That's God's blessing to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, it's safer. Now, one more line. Go to Egla Rufa, Perachav Aleph. Egla Rufa. We have a problem. What happens when Beit Din does something wrong? There's a judicial system. Who's going to judge the judges? Now here's your problem. Anyone can be a judge, right? For many shevet. Who's going to judge the judges? What happens when the judges do something wrong? When there's a scandal. Right? Who's going to be in charge of the rabbis? Who's going to be in charge of the rabbis? No, I shouldn't have said that. I need a higher authority. So there's a case when there's a homicide. We don't know who did it. which means the local authorities have done something wrong, otherwise we wouldn't have to take responsibility. But who comes? We measure. Beitin comes and measures the closest city. The elders of that city, this king of the city, come. Correct? But who did they have to make their confession to? Take a look. Perachav Aleph. Perachav Aleph. Pasuk. Hey. They bring Zigneir, come to the place. And then, V'nikshua kohanim b'nei Levi. Why are they coming there? Just to watch? What? Ki bam b'char Hashem le'elohecha l'sharto. Which according to my explanation means what? To judge. No, l'sharto is to judge. U'levarech b'shmo. And to guide and lead. So, things like that should happen. V'apiyam yekol ri v'chol naga. They're the highest authority. And therefore, v'chol zikneir ahi krovim al'chal yuchatu et yidem aglav rufa b'nachal. V'anu v'amru. Who says this? The skenim, the local court says, "Yadenu l'shavkot amazav eninu l'ro." Who are they standing in front of? It's hataras nedarim. It's standing in front of the kohanim and levim, aren't they? And where did the kohanim answer? Hakom achulach. You know what I'm talking about from there? How did the kohanim answer? Look, Tilgum Unklu says this is the kohanim speaking now. Kapel amcha Yisrael are the kohanim, and now they're accepting the confession and asking God to. Kaper lam chesa shapatit Hashem v'titen dam alakim v'kav lam chesa v'nechaper lam adam. Got it?
You just said the Kohanim are speaking?
No. This Kenim come and make confession.
Yeah.
But they make confession in front of the Kohanim Alevim.
That's what I heard.
The Kohanim.
You say it's the Kohanim. The Kohanim says the Kohanim are speaking to
us. Kaper lam chesa is the Kohanim. Or is it the Kohanim Alevim? It's an Unklus. Look at Unklus.
That's the response.
It's in Tirgum Oklus, and Oklus adds it to the translation. He's onto something. He barely adds words. What? Look at all the parshim talk about it. Banu Kanaya. It makes sense also because with this first person, that second person.
Okay.
Yadenu l'shufet amazeh is first person. That's the vidui. The tefillah is the kohanim. It explains that's when they're not just coming to watch; they're coming to do something. They're the authority. But what do we see? What's their job? Why are they coming to Egla Rufa? Not to bring a korban. They don't check the Egla. That's not their job. It's not kachet chutz. It's rather, they're the highest authority. And that's why I need Shevet Levi. Now, we're running out of time, but I hope my point's clear. The 3 points. Now, what we didn't get into is how are we going to fund the Shevet? How are we going to fund the Shevet? I want to bring one last proof how we fund the Shevet. Go to Perek Yodalad. Aser Taser. Everyone knows the Midrashim. Aser Kadesh. Take my sir, Perek Yedalad, Pasach Habet. Pretend it's second day Yontif, and Chutzaris in the reading, it's Shabbos, and you read Atzer Taser. Remember?
No,
Shmini Atzer is a good one. Okay, pretend Shmini Atzer. Atzer Taser, Atzer Shirachman. You give 10%. What do you do with your 10%? V'chalta d'ifnei Hashem elokach ma'am kama sheivcha, l'shaken sh'mosham, ma'aser d'gamcha v'chule. 10% of your produce, you have to eat where? In Yerushalayim. Ma'am kama sheivcha Hashem. Just like the Bukhar you eat there. Everything. The Sefer Dvarim has to make sure not only that there is a Makom Mashiach HaRashem, everyone has to go there on a regular basis. Why? The end of Pasach HaGimel. L'mad tomad l'irat Hashem el'checha kol ha'amim. By bringing your Maser and eating it in Yerushalayim, it's forcing you to go to Yerushalayim for a visit. And that will teach you to fear God. How will that teach you to fear God? Well, something needs to be in Yerushalayim. What has to be in Yerushalayim?
School of teachers.
What? The school of teachers. And therefore, take a look. Who are you going to share it with? Take a look. Okay. Take a look in Pasuk Chavav. V'chalta shem b'fnei Hashem elokecha. Pasuk Chavzayin. V'alevi asher b'sharecha lo tazvenu ki lo chelek v'nachalai mach. Don't forget the Levi who's with you. Now we see why the Levi. By Maser we have Dafke the Levi. When you go to Hamakom Hashem HaRashem, we're always talking about the Levim. Listen, this we don't have time for, but we'll figure it out on your own. Many times, when you talk about the needy people, like Biur Masrot, Natata, like Levi, like Gerald Yotam Lamana, Bisamachta Bachagecha, Ta, Valevi, Asher Bekebecha, Vagir Yotam Lamana, all the people who don't have land, you have to help them out. Sometimes he's one of the poor people because he's stuck in education. He needs it. You have to help him with his tuition and stuff. He's underpaid. What can you do? Now, but sometimes it's just the Levi. When it has to do with Hamakom HaShirif HaRashem, it's just the Levi. Watch what happens. Where's it? One second. That's Hamakom HaShirif HaRashem. Look in Perek Yudchet, the last one. Perek Yudchet. פרק י"ט. לא יהיה לכהנים הלווים, כל שבט לוי, חלק ונחליים ישראל, אישי השם נחלתו יחלו. What do? They get the... Okay. They get tea from the korbanot. V'nachlo li elo b'ker b'chav, Hashem u'nachoto k'asher diber Hashem lo. Now, where are they eating? That's too complicated for now.
Who's eating?
Who eats the korbanot here?
Yeah, it sounds like Levim.
What?
It sounds like Levim
can eat korbanot. That's one of the big problems I have with it. Now watch, listen carefully. Zeh mishpat ha-kohanim et ha-am, meitz ofchei ha-zevach im shor v'imseh, v'natan lo-chein ha-zor lachem l'keva. Is that kochim or chulim? What? Chazal say chulim. The average reader, the academic, would tell you, no, this is a machloket, because according to Vayikra, what does the kohen get? He gets the zroah, the shokin, and shokin. I'm losing my head. Shokin, chazan, shok. He gets. Got it. And here he gets the junk now. He gets the zroah chaim keva. But if you look carefully, this is chulim. This is chulim, isn't it? And chulim they get now. Does that go to only Kohanim? Can be to Levi? No. Why are you paying them? Because it's their job to teach. It could be Imshat. It goes. Listen, Chazal paskin differently. It gets complicated because in the meantime we have Chet Egel. Something messed up after Chet Egel. But the original law is Shevet Levi, who's working, needs compensation, and therefore if you're having a korban, watch what happens. If you bring a korban to the Beit Hamikdash, where does it go to? The what do you call it? The Kohanim. If you don't bring in a korban, you bring chulim. I save the meat. So what are you telling you? Even outside, you still have to pay. You can't not bring a korban and think you can get away with not paying your taxes. You follow? Now I can't give the exact same thing I gave if it's a korban, because that would be kachin b'chutz. You follow? So whenever I bring an animal, the priest needs to share. In the temple, it's these two parts. Outside the temple, it's these parts. But the idea of giving him a part is because he's working for you. In the Mikdash, he's bringing the Korban, you give him your part. Outside the Mikdash, he's your teacher. You give him your part.
Where's the reference to Levi?
Now look next. Now look to the next one. 18-1. Okay. Zeh mishpat kohanim. Why? Reshit yadchat yoshcha b'tzarecha reshit geson chatitein lo. That can be a regular maser. Why? Ki bo b'char Hashem alecha b'kosh shvatecha lamod esharek b'shem Hashem hu banav kol yamin. He's there forever to serve God. But that's Chazal say it's chulin. Outside the Mikdash. Now, to do what? This is a heyday for the Bible critics. Why? What do they say? What's it sound like? Any Levi can become a Kohen. Because he's going to Sharet. We know that's not true. The way I'd explain it, we solve the problem. What's it mean? Why is he going to Yerushalayim whenever he wants?
To teach.
And therefore, why does he have to go to teach? Because that's where everyone's eating the Maser Sheni. They're coming. You don't learn the fear of God by breaking korbanot. You learn the fear of God by learning Torah. So a Levi on a regular basis would do what? Would hang out in Yerushalayim to meet his Rabbein and teach Torah. In fact, when people brought their Maser with them, they brought the Levim with them.
Can you account for yours to
answer? You understand?
Can you account for yours
to answer? That's complicated, but it's doable. But I got to leave him 2 minutes ago. You got my point? When you bring your Maser Sheni to Yerushalayim, you're doing it to learn how to fear God. You learn that by learning Torah and learning from Levim. Therefore, Levim on a regular basis, they have their Yarchei Kala. And therefore, Chiyavo Levi B'chad Sharecha, that's where he belongs. Shoftim B'shor Yitin B'chol Sharecha. But every once in a while, also Levim need to recharge their batteries. And therefore, they can go whenever they want and get their Chilek of what people are eating and what they're giving out. For Maser Sheni. What? Now, so it turns out later on, what I'm getting at is, let me summarize because I'm going to have to finish. What I'm trying to show you is if I follow Sefer Dvarim, which is about setting up a nation serving God, the core for that is having a set of educators. Not people carrying some kelim and not people saying some magic words. And that's how Am Yisrael paskin for sure. That's the yeshiva rule. And we set aside a tribe as a pool of people to do that. And when they're doing their job, they're called mechanim. Now, there's another problem of sacrifice in general. Is it good or bad with Chet Ego? Do you need a Mishkan? What korban to bring? That's complicated. And limiting that to only members, certain members of Shevet Levi, it should have been the firstborn, that's a whole different topic. But that's after Chet Ego, and that's a change. Sefer Dvarim is keeping the original plan. And it's only focusing on Shevet Levi as a Shevet teaching Torah. Teaching Torah, acting as judges, passing on the tradition for another generation, and blessing the people by teaching them Torah. teach him the fear of God. And Maser Sheni is when you come to Yerushalayim to be with the Kohanim. And Levim also with the Kohanim and Levim. And Levim themselves have to go on Aliyah LeRegel. And they have to be the ultimate authority. Because we need an authority. And we have to pass that down. And it's central for the Jewish people becoming a nation representing God. And once I understand it that way, in my opinion, all the problems fall down. Again, how we paskin halacha lemaisa after Chet HaEgel, when after the Bechor loses their job that they were supposed to do. Maybe they were supposed to bring the Korbanot. Although, you understand what's going to happen with the Bechor? The first one was supposed to bring Korbanot, they lost that job. Who's going to get that? Somewhere in Shevet Levi, just the Kohanim? It gets complicated. How we paskin the Dorot? That's a different story that the rabbis did. And how they read. And once they paskin that way, halacha lemaisa, they go back into the Psukim. But the principles, that's what I want to get through. The principle of Sefer Dvarim is so basic. And that's exactly how we paskin in the Jewish world. That's exactly the yeshiva world. And there's tons you could learn from that. But to be a nation serving God, you have to have a shevet dedicated to teaching Torah and passing it down. And if you look carefully in Sefer Dvarim, that's all that's going on with Shevet Levi. So sometimes they're poor with all the other poor people, but sometimes it's only them in relation to HaMakom HaSharif HaRashem and Shevet Levi. But show you this one last time, Pasuk Yud Bet, which is HaMakom HaSharif HaRashem. Look at Pasuk Yud, Perek Yud Bet. Perek Yud Bet. That's where we introduce HaMakom HaSharif HaRashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bayam HaMakom HaSharif HaRashem, Neshken Shmo Sham Shema Teviyot Ko Asher Nukim Etzavcha Bechulei. Listen carefully. Pasuk Yud Bet. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem, atem v'nechem v'nitev v'abdechem v'amotechem, v'alevi Hashem b'sharechem, ki imlochelot v'nachalaitchem. What do you mean, chelak ha'alevi Hashem b'sharechem? Where are you now? You're b'mokom Hashem Yivchar Hashem. And who you have to be happy with? With your whole family and your family, right? Atem v'nechem v'nitechem, and the levi in your midst, in your shar. What's that mean? You're going to Aliyah LeRegel, to b'mokom Hashem Yivchar Hashem, and you're happy with your family and your levy from your hometown levy. What's that mean? You hope you bring him with you. You step him along because you're having a party in Yerushalayim. Come with us. We're going to Israel for Pesach. Bring the rabbi along with you. Okay? Stay in the inbal. You follow? The special suite. You see what I'm getting at? Otherwise, it makes no sense at all. But because this is the place to learn the fear of God, you bring your levy with you. That's b'chiyavo levy b'chol sharecha uva amakom l'sharet. The sharet is to teach Torah to be the judge. That's the center, that's the hub. It's not to bring korbanot, because we don't talk about korbanot here. It's not the main topic. There's a whole book about korbanot, called Torah Kohanim. That's for later on. Wait, I might have to leave, but we'll continue next time. What? Okay, yeah, we have. There's a lot of holes, but I hope the main point was clear. Yeah. I didn't solve every problem, but we have a thing. Okay. Is this supposed to be on that? Oh, this is the email. Okay.
Yeah. I need to know when's the next time that you're coming here.
Okay, it's up in the air, but I'll let you know. Okay.
And
This new way of being, you know, it's no problem at all.
It takes him about a week to get it wet. Yeah.
Thank you. So, you said this is the Kohanim, who obviously have a future role in the Beis HaMikdash.